This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wa sayyid al-mursaleen. سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني أفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته to all of the viewers of Deen TV. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. Indeed, we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for granting us yet another day that we're able to worship Him, that we're able to understand this beautiful deen, and a good salawat and taslim upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a means of tabarruk, as a means of blessings and barakah. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be furthering in the history and biography of our beautiful Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first three sessions, we spoke about the values and the ethics of the Rabbi alayhi salam. We spoke about his physical appearance. We spoke about his sunnah. We spoke about his miraculous birth, all of these beautiful things. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go further into knowing the history of our beautiful Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's blessings and peace be upon him and all of those of the Bayt of Nabi alayhi salam and all of the Sahaba and all of the Anbiya and the Rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you go back to history, you will see that historians basically divide the Arab regime before the Rabbi alayhi salam's birth into three categories. First category, they mention whom al-Arab al-Ba'ida. Al-Ba'ida means those Arabs that were extinct. And we are specifically speaking about people that came before history started to be documented. And if we look at the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can look at, for instance, the qawm of Nabi Ad and the people of Ad and the people of Thamud and all of these people that were all civilizations before, but they were wiped off the face of the earth and the history was lost. And then we find the second category, the second division of the Arabs at that time was called Al-Arab Al-Ariba. Al-Arab Al-Ariba. Ariba means, comes also from the asl of Arabs, the origin of Arabs and where they came from. And these people, they come from the lineage from a man called Ya'rib ibn Yasjib. Ya'rib ibn Yasjib ibn Qathan. And this man was mentioned that he was related and within his lineage was Nabi Hud alayhi salam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, فَانْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَقَطَعْنَا دَابِرَ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَمَا كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 72. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this beautiful explanation, because you see, sometimes you find certain people saying that because of the people of Hud was destroyed, how is it possible that they are still a lineage from them? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayah that apart from Nabi Hud alayhi salam himself, there was a group of people that was with him that was saved by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the whole village was destroyed. Also, the third or the last category or division of the Arabs at the time were called Al-Arab Al-Musta'araba. Musta'araba, and these people came from the lineage of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the grandfather of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. Now, there's a very beautiful story behind Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. We're all familiar and know that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam originally was from Iraq. And from Iraq, he traveled all the way to Palestine. And basically, he made Palestine the base of his da'wah, of his movement, of calling people to the deen, calling people to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he moved at several different places, like for instance, Egypt. And he went further past Iraq, Syria, all of these other places as well that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam visited. And we know that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he went to Egypt, he married one of the women from Egypt, which her name was Hajar. But before Hajar, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was married already to Sarah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Sayyidah Hajar that she became pregnant. And of course, that was with Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. But as time, went on, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife, Sarah, the first one, she became a bit jealous of the second wife, and you know that's natural. If you ask for those that are indulging in polygamy, when they have one or two wives or three wives or four wives, you will always find that the wife is a bit jealous, and that's something that is natural. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was faced with this situation, and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam then decides, because Sayyida Sarah is showing a bit jealousy and she is feeling very uncomfortable and all of these things, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam decides also by the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instructions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he takes his wife Hajar and her baby Nabi Ismail alayhi salam and take them out and far away from Palestine. And where do they land up? In, at that time it was not called Mecca, but in the surroundings of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And you can imagine this. This was a piece of desert that had absolutely nothing, just sand. No water, no plantation, no people, absolutely nothing. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, as he is busy greeting them, Sayyida Sarah, Sayyida Hajar alayhi salam, she then asks him, "Ya Ibrahim, what are you doing? Where are you going?" And he says, "I have to go, I have to leave here." And then look at the taqwa and iman of this woman. She says, "Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order you to do this?" And he says, "Naam, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered me to do this." And immediately she responds, says, "Idhan falayyudi'an Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not then let us go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not see us to be destroyed." And this was the proper tawakkul and trust and faith she had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves him. And as Sayyida Hajar alayhi salam is breastfeeding Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, after a period of time, her milk becomes dry. No more milk anymore in her bosoms. And she starts to worry. And she was concerned. And what did she do? She decides to get up, leaves Nabi Ismail alayhi salam on the floor, and she starts to run everywhere trying to find water in order to see to herself and see to her baby. And we know the famous story behind this. That's why, for instance, in the pillars of Hajj, we perform as-sa'i bayna Safa wal Marwa, that we run between the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, because that was created or established by Sayyida Hajar alayhi salam. When she started looking for water, she could not find it. She used to run up and down, until she heard a huge bang. And when she came to Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, she found the water, ma'u zamzam, the water of zamzam. Now, ulama have different opinions when it comes to what was the cause that this beautiful well that exploded and all of this water that came out of nowhere, who was the one that caused it? Of course we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of everything, but was it Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, or was it one of the malaika? Now there are ulama that differ between each other. Some say it was Nabi Ismail alayhi salam himself kicking on the ground and from there the water came out, and some of them say no, it was Jibreel alayhi salam that came and he hit the ground and the water came out. Whether it is this way or that way, it still shows you the barakah and the blessings that is behind this beautiful water. Because the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, ma'u zamzam lima shuriba lahu, that the water of zamzam, whatever you drink it for, it will be for that. So that's why the Nabi alayhi sallam always used to encourage that when we drink the water of zamzam, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you supplicate to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things. You never know whether it will come your way. And this is a beautiful story on this acceptance of dua. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked one day, "Ya Ali, how come we find that you are so happy when your dua is accepted, but you are even more happier when your dua is not accepted, when your prayer or supplication is not accepted?" And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu then said, he said, "You see, the first thing was, when I asked, that was my request. And therefore, when it was accepted, alhamdulillah, I accepted and I was happy. But the second time when it was not accepted, it was no more in my control anymore. Now I know that it was Allah's decision, which is above my decision, and Allah's wisdom is higher than any other wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is much more higher than any other knowledge. We will not be able to imagine or encompass the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither the wisdom." So therefore he says, and the second one is because of Allah's decision, and with that I am even more happy. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always see that he gives us the best if we do the best for him. So Nabi Ismail alayhi salam kicked on the ground, or Jibreel alayhi salam hit on the ground, and the water came out. And when this happened, there was other tribes that were around in the area close by, and they started to see birds that were flying in a specific area. Now, birds is an indication of water or indication of life. So they found Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and they found Sayyidina Hajar alayhi salam, and they asked permission if they may stay with them and situate themselves by the well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this was the istijaba, this was the answering of the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was grant them that they perform the salah and they become righteous people, and let people faj'al af'ilatan nasi tahwi ilayhi, and let people come and surround them. People come and surround them. Because at the end of the day, Islam does not encourage to isolate each other. That one is on this side, the other one is on that side. No, we do not live on an island alone. Islam encourages to live with humanity in harmony, to live with them with dignity, and to work together, to socialize. That is the most important thing. And Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for that in order to make sure that his son and his wife are going to be all okay. The Qabila, the tribe, they originated from Yemen. And after a long period of time, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam mixed with them, and he started to learn the language, the Arabic language, and he became so close with his people that they offered him one of their daughters, and Nabi Ismail alayhi salam got married to one of the daughters of this Qabila Yemeniya, this Yemeni tribe. And after a while, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam always used to come and visit Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and every time he would make sure that they are right. So at this one moment, when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam came to visit, but Nabi Ismail alayhi salam was not there, so Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam left a message with his wife to let Ismail know that he needs to rectify his pillar, in a sense. So Nabi Ismail alayhi salam immediately understood what his father meant, because the father could pick up that, you know what, this wife is maybe not the right wife for you. Not saying that she was a bad woman. You know, we human beings, we have different characters, we have different personalities. Everybody's not made to be with one another. Everybody has different situations, different backgrounds, and it depends whether the person is able to incline towards that person, that it will work. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam then advised his son that he remarries another woman. And Nabi Ismail alayhi salam then understood what his father's message was, and he divorced the first wife and he married a second wife, or at least now becomes the first wife. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam then after a while again came and visited his son, and he said, alhamdulillah, the pillar is strong, the pillar is good. And Nabi Ismail alayhi salam understood that message, and it was left at that. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him 12 sons. 12 sons, and these 12 sons were then later on in a further stage created into 12 tribes. But these sons, their names was Nabit, Kidar, Mibsham, Mishma', Duma, Misha, Haddad, Yatma, Yatur, Nafis, Qidman, and so on. So these were the 12 brothers that came from, or 12 siblings that came from the father, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. وَجَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ قَبِيلًا. As we said, there were 12 tribes that came from them. كُلُّهَا فِي مَكَّةً. All of these tribes situated in Makkah al-Mukarramah. When it came to Kedar, we find that in the lineage of Kedar, came from him Adnan wal-Jad, who was Jad al-Hadi wal-Ashirun. That Adnan was the 21st grandfather or great-grandfather of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see that from these lineage as well came the Qabila Quraysh, the tribe called Quraysh. And they originated from another Qabila called Kanana. So you find Adnan, and then you find Kanana, and then you find Quraysh. So it's Adnan, Kanana, Quraysh. This is how the lineage goes. وَقَدْ اشْتَهَرَ فِي قُرَيْشٍ. And in Quraysh itself, there were certain famous tribes that were known. Of them, Jumah, وَسَهْم, وَعَدِي, وَمَخْزُوم, وَيَتْم, وَقَصِي ابْنِ كِلَاب, وَعَبْدِ الدَّارِ ابْنِ قَصِي, وَأَسَدْ ابْنِ عَبْدِ الْعِزِ, Ibn Qasi, wa Abd Manaf Ibn Qasi, or Qusa. You know, what lugha, what language you come from. You get people that speak, have a different tone from Ahlul Kufa and Ahlul Basra. So it depends on which one you choose. But coming to the point, from Abd Manaf, which is in that lineage. We found that Abd al-Shams came, also one of the tribes, Nawfal, Al-Mutlab, or Hashim. Four tribes. Abd al-Shams, Nawfal, Al-Mutlab, or Al-Matlab, or Hashim. And we know that from the lineage of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Bani Hashim. That was the clan's name. That was what they were known for. And that's why the Nabi alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى مِنْ وَلَدِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِسْمَعِيلِ وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَعِيلِ كَنَانَةَ وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ بَنِي كَنَانَةَ كُرَيْشًا وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ كُرَيْشِ بَنِي هَاشِمْ وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ. The Nabi alayhi salam says in this beautiful hadith, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and specifically selected, اصْطَفَى مِنْ وَلَدِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, he chose from the sons of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَعِيلِ, and he chose from the sons of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, Kanana, you know, down in the lineage, Kanana. And he chose, وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ بَنِي Kanana, and he chose from the people of Kanana, or the son Kanana from his lineage, Quraishan, the tribe Quraish. وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ Quraish, and he chose from Quraish, Bani Hashim. وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ Bani Hashim, and he chose from Bani Hashim, me. And therefore the Nabi alayhi salam says, أَنَا خِيَارٌ مِنْ خِيَارٌ, I come from a beautiful and righteous lineage. The Nabi alayhi salam says another hadith, though we find certain ulama do debate on the sanad of the hadith, but the Nabi alayhi salam says, وُلِدْتُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِ الطَّاهِرِينَ أو انتقلت من أصلاب الطاهرين إلى أرحام الطاهرات, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في كلماته, as the Nabi alayhi salam said that I came through أصلاب الطاهرات, meaning men, males that were tahir, that were pure, that were good, that were righteous, into the wombs that were also good and righteous of the Nabi alayhi salam. And therefore we are able to see that the Nabi alayhi salam's lineage was beautifully connected to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And that's why we find that the Arabs, most of them originate from that tribe and from that lineage that came from Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. Why? Because they were the ones that first came into Mecca and situated themselves there and established themselves there. Now we come to the nasab of the Nabi alayhi salam, the lineage of the Nabi himself. The Nabi alayhi salam, and you will always find in the Arabs, when you give them a name, you will always see that he is son of son, because they used to take pride, especially in their sons, especially in the lineage of the father. So you will always find that the Arabs will always mention their name or their father's name or their father's name, and so on and so on and so on. So now we come to the nasab, the lineage, and the names that the Nabi alayhi salam was mentioned, at least within his lineage. The Nabi alayhi salam's lineage goes as such: Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abd al-Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abd Manaf, ibn Qasi, ibn Kilab, ibn Marrah, ibn Ka'b, ibn Lu'ay, ibn Ghalib, ibn Fahd, ibn Malik, ibn al-Nadr, ibn Kanana, ibn Khuzaymah, ibn Mudrika, ibn Ilyas, ibn Madar, ibn Nazar, ibn Ma'ad, ibn Adnan, and Adnan of course came from Kidar, who was the son of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And it's very important always to know your lineage, always know your history and biography. It tells you where you come from. It will also establish for you how, as a person, you need to be because of your predecessors. You know, they say we learn from our history, we learn from our past, in order to make sure that we are successful in our future. So that's why it's very important to always try to establish your lineage and know where do you come from. And as we can see, the Nabi alayhi salam's lineage was documented. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were very over the Nabi alayhi salam. Every single detail of the Nabi alayhi salam, they used to document. They used to the extent of this, that if Abbas radiallahu anhu, it is said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to try to follow the Nabi alayhi salam in every single thing that he did, and he took note of him in all aspects. That after the Nabi alayhi salam left the dunya, it is said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to do exactly what the Nabi alayhi salam should do. So for instance, if the Nabi alayhi salam, in order to go to the masjid, used to take this road, or used to take that corner, or something like that, Ibn Abbas used to do it. Even if it would be a situation where the Nabi alayhi salam would pause, and whatever he did, Ibn Abbas makes sure that he remembers. So he comes to the sujood and he just pours for no reason except to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that also his physical appearance, he tried to make it as much as possible to look like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his hair, he lifted as long as the Prophet alaihi wasallam. His beard, he lifted as well as exactly the same as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of these beautiful aspects. So it shows to us that the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in indeed took heed and note of the Nabi alayhi wasallam. It shows us the importance of just studying the character and the personality and the biography of the Nabi alayhi wasallam, and that alone will tell you that indeed this indeed is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he comes from such a beautiful and pure lineage that is linked to Sayyidu Abu al-Anbiya. They call him the father of the Anbiya, and that is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam came Nabi Ishaq, came Nabi Yaqub, and all of these other beautiful Anbiya that came from the lineage of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. One of the most important things also that I want to mention is that when the Nabi alayhi salam was born, he was born in one of the most important years according to Quraysh. What year was that? Aamul Fil, the year of the elephant. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the story in Surah Al-Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil, wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil, tarmihim bi hijaratin min sijjil, faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding Quraysh. You see, it was not only the favor of bestowing the Nabi upon them in that year. No, it was also protection. Because at that year, the king of Abyssinia, his name was Abraha. Abraha, you see, was very powerful. And a lot of people used to visit Habash at that time, Ethiopia, because of its trade and because of its civilization and so on like that. And then when Abraha started to see that a lot of people are going to now Quraysh and Mecca and performing pilgrimage and all of these things, he felt that this might affect his kingdom. It might affect his kingdom economically, financially, all of these things. Also socially, politically, and all of these things. So Abraha then decided that he is going to take his army and go forward and try to destroy the Kaaba. And as he's on his way, what happens? The news reaches Quraysh and everybody is trembling and they're all full of fear and scared. And the grandfather of the Rabbi alayhi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib, he then hears about this, but then he remembers that he had a cattle of sheep that was still outside of the outskirts of the village of Mecca. And he then decides he's going to fetch them. He goes, and as he comes across them, unfortunately finds them in the camp of Abraha, in the camp of the king. And he comes to the king and he approaches him and he asks him, he tells him, look, I came for my sheep. And then Abraha tells him, asks him, you came for your sheep, but what about the Kaaba that I'm on my way to destroy? Your place of worship. And then Abdul Muttalib replies to the king and says, I am the Lord of these sheep. And that house has its own Lord that will protect it. Subhanallah. Imagine. That Lord has his own Lord that will protect it. That's why Quraysh, they did believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what did they say? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ. That we do not worship these idols except that it grants us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemned them, because they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la sharika lah, and there is no partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quraysh, they knew the concept of one God, but unfortunately they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, there's a beautiful story behind the father of the Nabi alayhi salam. But I think inshallah ta'ala, with due time, maybe in our next session, we can elaborate more and speak more about the father of the Nabi alayhi salam, because indeed it's a beautiful story. That's why the Nabi alayhi salam, for instance, said, Ana ibnul adhayayn, I am the son of the two ones that were supposed to be sacrificed. And that's why we know the story of Ismail alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim, and Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib had exactly almost the same, similar story. But we'll speak about that inshallah ta'ala in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.